Because obviously you sit there and daydream of what you want to do. Well, don't give up on the daydream, because I'm living proof that I'm doing it. And I can't wait to see what comes next.
What is going on, everybody? This is your boy Los with the Motor Misfit Podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in to another episode. This one is very good. It is a fantastic episode. So much value, so much insight. And we are kicking off International Women's Month with the none other Krista Baldwin. If you don't know who Krista Baldwin is, then you definitely got to listen to this episode. But you also got to go and check her out. She is a top fuel dragster pilot and creative director at McLeod Racing and FTI Performance. So she is juggling tons of hats. She gives us so much value, so much insight, so much advice. I didn't even know which one to use for the words of wisdom at the beginning of the episode. That's how great this episode is. So definitely check it out. And guys, she is making her first pass, her first national pass in the NHRA for the top fuel dragster this weekend coming up at the Gator National. So Krista, we want to wish you the best of luck. We know you're going to do great. Guys, go check her out. Check out the episode and then go wish her your own good faith, good words for the pass that she's about to make. So Krista, best of luck to you. And guys, let's get into this episode. Yo, what is going on, everybody? This is your boy Los Carlos with Motor Misfit. Guys, today we have an incredible episode. We have Krista Baldwin, creative director at McLeod Racing and top fuel dragster pilot. What is going on, Krista?
Hey, how's it going? Thanks for having me on.
No, the pleasure is all mine. I know that you're definitely juggling a lot of things, and the audience will know that soon. So I really appreciate you coming on and taking some time to talk with us.
Absolutely. I'm excited, and you know, your audience may not know who I am, but hopefully once we're done with this interview, maybe I gain a couple new fans.
You know what? I definitely see that happening, because I'm sure that a lot of people, first off, I know a lot of people already know you, but I'm sure that if they don't know you, they're going to be definitely intrigued with going to check you out. Definitely. So guys, Krista has been in the drag racing scene her whole life, from watching her grandfather, the top fuel Hall of Famer Chris the Greek Karamassinis, and her late father Bobby Baldwin, to making her own path in the NHRA. This is definitely a way of life for her. She is also a PR / marketing monster in the automotive aftermarket industry, and juggles her racing with also being a creative director for McLeod Racing and FTI Performance. Last year, she joined on in the top fuel division and will be cementing her path in racing even more than she has already. Today, Krista will take some time with us and take us through her journey and provide some great advice and insight. I'll pass it on over to her and she can share a little bit more about herself.
Absolutely. I mean, as you said, I've been born at the drag strip, practically. You know, both sides of my family had top fuel dragsters when I was younger. And, you know, it was the way of life. It was what we did on the weekends. I mean, some families go out and go camping. Some families go and, you know, do other things. But my thing with my family is we went top fuel dragster racing. And so it's a little more extreme than most. But I mean, from a very young age, I knew this is what I wanted to do. I mean, you take a 10,000 horsepower motor, 10,000 horsepower machine. Wow. And you go 330 miles an hour in 4 seconds. I mean, how can you beat that?
Yeah, that's definitely an experience on its own. Like that's, and yes, how you're explaining it is like crazy for you to even fathom.
Yeah, it's so much fun. And, you know, I have a true passion for NHRA drag racing. And, you know, even if I couldn't drive, I would still be involved as, you know, as you mentioned, my 9-to-5 job is over at McLeod Racing and FTI Performance. And so I'm very grateful for the position I'm in, and I'm grateful for, you know, the opportunities that, you know, I've made for myself that people have taken chances on me for. And, you know, I've worked really hard to get to where I'm at, and I'm very proud of the journey, and I wouldn't let up for anything.
Spoken like a true champion, definitely. Just keep on going and don't stop until you pass the finish line. Definitely.
Absolutely.
So, Krista, you grew up basically just knowing drag racing. How was that for you? Because obviously, you know, as a kid, you're like, sometimes your parents make you do stuff that you're like, oh, I don't want to go, and this and this and that. Like, so were you one of those kids at the beginning, or were you just in it from the start? Like, oh yeah, let's go to the drag strip. Let's do this.
I was in it from the start. I mean, whose parents would tell you if you get good grades, you can skip almost every Friday of the school year to go drag racing? So, you know what I mean?
Wow.
I got to skip school, but then again, I also had straight A's. So it was just, you know, I had to work hard for it. And, you know, the drag racing, it's where my friends and family are. That's where I grew up, and that's the people that I love to be around. And when I started this journey of driving these race cars, it's proven to be very humbling, which I did not understand that from before as more of like a spectator. But now, like, driving these cars, it's a humbling experience, but I wouldn't change it for the world. But yeah, I grew up, you know, smelling nitro and watching my dad and my grandpa go down the racetrack. I mean, sometimes they would race each other, and me and my mom would look at each other like, I don't know who to vote for. Who are you going to root for? I don't know. And so hopefully we just prayed that it was a safe race for both of them. And yeah, I loved how I grew up, and I would not have changed it for anything.
That's awesome. And that's definitely like a great experience, like to see that from such a young age and then keep continuing that. Because, you know, so some people, like, they start something, like, for example, I'm Dominican. So Dominican is like, baseball. And it got to a point when I was like sick and tired of baseball at that point. But to know that you started from an early age and you kept going with it, and this is a true passion for you, that's amazing. So definitely congratulate you on that. Now, did you start off your career like, I don't know, some racers, they start off, and I know it's a different type of racing, but they start off with like go-karts or stuff like that. So when is it that you actually started your driving career?
So when I turned 8, back then, when you were 8, you could get into a junior drag race, junior dragster. When I turned 8, the plan I was hoping was to get into a junior drag race or junior dragster. But unfortunately, a few months later, my dad passed away. And so it never came to fruition. You know, there was no way I could do this. And there was no way that me and my mom could do it by ourselves. And my grandpa at the time, I was born and raised in Southern California, and my grandpa was in Chicago. So it was pretty difficult. And so, you know, we got through that time.
Yeah.
And then probably... Yeah, it was a tough time, but I still got to go to the races and support my grandpa, and I got to, you know, continue that way of life. But now it's just with my grandpa, which is an amazing thing. I'm grateful for, you know, it's sad what happened, but I'm grateful for the opportunity it's presented itself, and I got to be closer to my grandpa. And so that was a cool thing. And then I was in high school. And, you know, of course, colleges and, you know, career day and all that stuff, they're asking, what do you want to do for your life? Well, of course, I went to an all-girls school. And so I was the only one that said race car driver.
Were you the kid that went to school for show and tell with the racing helmet on and all that?
Yes, actually, I will tell you this. When I was in kindergarten, for show and tell, my dad brought his dragster to the school for my show and tell. Wow,
that's an awesome show and tell.
Yeah, so of course, and it's funny because I have friends from kindergarten. We've been friends for, gosh, almost 25 years now. And they tell me, they're like, you are the only person we know that wrote down what you wanted to do in life, and you are doing it.
Wow, that's awesome.
So that's pretty cool. And, you know, coming from, you know, my best friend of 25 years is like, you're very inspiring. I'm like, stop it. I'm just doing what I do. Like, this is nothing, right? This is normal. But I didn't start driving until I was in high school, because one of the key things with my family is I had to go to school. That was a huge thing with my grandpa, is I had to go to school, had to go to college. I had to have a career outside of racing, so I can fall back onto that career if, like, the racing thing didn't work out. So I first got into a front engine dragster. It's a 7-second car, 180 miles an hour. I was 18 at the time, just graduated high school. I drove that for a few years, and then I went to college. I finished college in 3.5 years. Hmm. And let's see, I licensed in the top alcohol dragster September of my senior year, or senior final semester at college. I graduated in December, and come February 2nd, I made my national event debut at the Winter Nationals in Pomona in top alcohol dragster. Awesome. So I was not wasting any time.
No, and not at all.
And so for the top alcohol dragster, that's a 5.2 seconds, 280 miles an hour. I was driving a fuel combination. So that's an injected nitro motor. There's two different motors in that class. There's a blown alcohol motor, where those are the cars where you hear them rev up to, you know, 7,000 RPM on the starting line, and they had to shift gears all the way down the track. Well, I chose the injected nitro route because the injected nitro is like the baby sister of a top fuel dragster. And you do all the same procedures in the A fuel car as I would in the top fuel car. Mm-hmm. And so when I made my licensing passes last year at St. Louis for top fuel dragster, it wasn't that the procedures were wrong. It just, there was a lot more power behind me than the A fuel car. But man, it's a lot of fun. Gosh, I'm smiling right now just thinking about it, because I'm so excited.
Just wishing you were out there right now.
Yes.
So how did that come along? Was that always the goal, like, for you to go top fuel drag racing? And I read somewhere, I'll let you explain it, but I read somewhere from somebody else that interviewed you that your grandfather was like, you ready? Let's do this. So how did that come along?
So my grandpa was never about me driving. Never was totally supportive about it. Like, he let me do it because he thought, oh, this is just, you know, a whim that she's doing. Like, she's not going to take this very far.
It's just a phase.
Just a phase. Exactly. And then when I was driving the A-fuel car, I was renting it in the beginning, and then I eventually acquired the A-fuel operation. That's when he started saying, oh, well, maybe she really does like driving, and she really does know what she's doing. And so probably halfway through my career on the A-fuel car, he started to give me the advice, give me the driver advice. Hey, you should do this when you're doing this. Or, you know, he would come up and watch every run if we were at the same event. And he would critique me in a sense of how a driver would approach it. And so, you know, of course, being a new driver, in essence, I mean, compared to him, everyone's a new driver, but, you know, being a very green driver, he was able to give me some great pointers that I still use today, that I still use in a top fuel car. And so, of course, we had this plan at the end of 2019. That I was going to get my license, and I was going to, you know, maybe do a race or two last year. Of course, our whole world went upside down, and that didn't happen. And I was able to get my license towards the end of the year in October. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, now here we are, in 2 weeks, I'll be making my national event debut in Gainesville, Florida, in Top Fuel Dragster.
Awesome. Can't wait to see that.
Yes, I can't wait either.
So how do you prepare for something like that, Krista? Like, obviously you make runs, but how do you like mentally prepare yourself for that? Is it something like, because people are wired differently, right? People get nervous, people do this, or some people are just like, you know what, let's get it. How do you prepare?
Gosh, the biggest thing is to remember in these cars, I mean, this is still, you know, you're still pumping nitromethane through the motor. You're basically driving a bomb, a ticking time bomb, and you just don't know when it's going to let go. And so to prepare yourself, you need to remember that the motor does have a mind of its own, and you need to respect the motor and respect the vehicle that you are driving, because the second you don't, it's going to nip you in the butt and something could go wrong. And that's the big thing, is everyone asks me, like, it's so scary and, you know, people have died doing this. But the bad is, you got to keep that small in your mind. You got to think of the bigger picture and what you're doing. You're doing something so amazing. I mean, we have about 5 G's off the starting line. That's as much as astronauts going into space experience. Wow. Now, they experience it over a span of maybe 2 minutes before they get into the atmosphere. Mm-hmm. We experience it twice. We experience it at the launch, at the starting line. And then 3 seconds later, we deploy the chutes and it's a reverse 5 G's. Mm. So we're experiencing it in 4 seconds, twice. Wow. But you just got to remember, you know, keep calm. Remember what you're doing. You know, make sure you remember, you got to do everything the same. That's the thing, is you got to be a robot in there. And if you're a robot in there and instincts take over, then you'll be set. But then again, you know, I only have 2 runs in a Top Fuel car, so I'm very green still, and I still have a lot to learn, but you know, it's gonna be so much fun.
I could definitely sense the excitement in your voice. That's awesome. Whether they're doing professionally or not, everybody dreams of being a race car driver or wants to do racing, whether they're doing it just like locally, not getting paid for it, they're paying it for their own, or they're actually trying to go that professional route. Do you think that does somebody need to start off at a young age to be able to make it professionally, or is it something that can be done with hard work or just experience and connections? What are your thoughts on that?
Kind of all of that. Okay. I mean, take my story, for example. Like, yes, I was in the industry for a long time. My family knows a lot of people out here. My family has Top Fuel cars out here. But I wasn't just given the keys to drive these cars.
Yeah.
I had to really work, you know, the marketing side of it, the sponsorship side of it. You know, I only had a certain amount of runs that I could do within a given weekend without any practice runs. And so I had to really hone in on my skills, you know, qualifying sessions of the race. Like, there is no test runs. And if you want to go testing, you know, that's another couple $1,000 that you got to shovel out.
Yeah.
And so with something like that, anything is possible. If you really want to do it, you will find a way to do it. And, you know, a lot of people in this sport, they do start in the junior drag racing. They do start with a street car. They do start with some bracket racing, which is fine, but I never got that. I kind of just dove in feet first. I have no clue what I'm doing. But, you know, I had the confidence of, you know, I made a lot of friends out here. I friends with a lot of the pro drivers, and, you know, they gave me a lot of advice every time I asked someone. And shoot, I was just talking with Richie Crampton, who drove a Top Fuel Dragster a few years ago. And I was explaining, you know, how nervous I am to go down to Gainesville, and he's like, don't be nervous, it's just like driving the A-field car, which you've done hundreds of times. I'm like, yeah, but now I gotta, you know, a blower on it. And it's a little bit more fast, but it's okay. But no, I mean, to start young is one thing, that's great. And if your family has the funds or the meanings to do that, wonderful. But you got to remember, if your family is in it, you have to be passionate about it too. Don't do something that your family's forcing you to do. Make sure that this is what you want to do, because if not, then you're wasting your efforts, really. Yeah. And so that's the big thing, is just find what you want. And that's a huge thing I keep telling a lot of people, you know, what is it that you want? Is this really what you want, or do you want to do it this way? And so, you know, you just gotta, everyone is different. And that's the hard thing, is you can't account for everyone. You can't account for everyone's story, because everyone is made up of different things that makes them special.
That is true. That's some awesome advice there. Thanks for that, Krista. Yeah, but I definitely wanted to get your point of view on everything. So that's great. Now, kind of going back to your whole journey, your whole career. Now, obviously, getting to the top fuel division is a huge accomplishment. But what are some other accomplishments that you can let us know about? And in turn, what are some challenges you faced, or even some failures that you might have came up along the way, and how were you able to turn those around?
So, like I said in the beginning, yes, I knew that I wanted to be a race car driver, but I knew, one, how expensive this sport is, and two, race car drivers are easy to come by. There's more drivers than vehicles out there. And so I had to think of to myself, how am I going to set myself apart? How am I going to stay within the industry, but maybe not be able to drive? Because when I was 16, I didn't think I was going to be able to drive at all.
Oh, wow.
And so comes Paul Lee. So I met Paul Lee. He was driving someone else's Nitro Funny Car at the race in Sonoma, California. Mm-hmm. And I met him, and he said, oh, are you going to college? I said, yes, I'm going to college for public relations and photography. He's like, well, what do you want to do? I'm like, well, obviously I want to be a race car driver, but I know that's hard to come by. So I want to stay in the industry. So I want to do PR and social media for a race team, because then at least I get to stay with my friends, with my family, even though I might not be able to put on a helmet, but I wanted to be in this industry.
Yeah.
And so Paul said, well, why don't you come do my PR? And so I met Paul in July. I moved to Greece, Athens, Greece, for 6 months.
Oh, wow.
And I came home December 25th, and I was calling him from the airplane, like, hey, Paulie, it's Krista Baldwin. Is that internship still available? He said, yep, come on down. And so 2 weeks later, I met him at a racetrack, and I started doing all his social media. And one of the cool things about Paul is I was able to, you know, continue going to class, and I had the internship. Paul was able to sign off a few of my classes. So I, thanks to Paul, I probably didn't have to take like 8 classes in college. Okay. And once I graduated college, he asked me to come on board full time with McLeod Racing. And now I'm the creative director.
Wow, that's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a huge accomplishment there. And I like the way that, because a lot of people don't know, like, you're 16, you're 18, or whatever, you could just be almost at the end of your college years and you still don't know what you want to do, but you had a goal. You knew that you wanted to be in racing in some way, shape, or form. And if you couldn't be a driver, you already had a plan on what it was that you could do to be able to stay in racing. So that's very admirable. And it's very smart. Like, you already knew what you wanted to do from the beginning. So that's awesome, Krista.
Absolutely. And, you know, going with Paul and being the intern for a few years, I was able to learn a lot more of what the aftermarket industry is. And I was able to, you know, go on the road with the McLeod team, and I learned a lot about drivetrain, a lot about clutches, flywheels, throughout bearings. And I have to thank Paul for taking me under his wing, because now I have a stable job and we're still within the industry. Shoot, Paul still races a Nitro Funny Car, and I work out of his lounge at DSR where the funny car is housed. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, it's definitely a dream job. I get to, you know, market clutches anywhere from OEM to 3000 horsepower. I get to walk in every day and see a Nitro Funny Car. And I have a cool ass boss who drives a Nitro Funny Car, and he understands my passion for driving, and he's able to help me and mentor me. And, you know, Paul's been driving for 40 years, and his knowledge is huge when it comes to actually wheeling these cars and the sponsorships and the media relations and what you need to be a pro driver.
No, and that's great that out of just telling somebody that that's what you wanted to do, you were able to take that up, that opportunity, and, you know, do what you're doing with it right now. So that's amazing. Now, that was definitely an accomplishment, and that included some challenges. Any notable failures that you could let us know? Yes. And how you were able to overcome them?
I did fail at something, a few things, but this is probably the biggest thing. So I graduated college. I was at McLeod for about 3 months. And I said, you know what? I want to go and get my master's. I want to have my master's because, you know, thinking ahead, thinking mm-hmm. of, you know, am I really going to be able to drive? If I have a master's and I have something to fall back on, if, you know, for some reason that the whole aftermarket industry collapses tomorrow, I'm able to fall back on something. Mm-hmm. And so when I started the master's program, it was online, and it was in the middle of working at McLeod full time, driving part time, trying to make my own sponsorships work on top of going to school. And I remember vividly that I had to type up a paper when I was at the racetrack in Norwalk, Ohio, and my internet died. So I had to go up to the tower, and as they're announcing cars going down the racetrack, I'm sitting there typing up a paper to send in to be graded. And so, you know, I tried really hard, and then I took about 4 classes in the master's, and I realized to myself, you know what? I learn a lot more with Paul. And I do. Every day I'm learning something new on business or finance or anything like that. And so my biggest failure is that I dropped out of my master's class. I did not get my master's degree, but I feel like I am so rich in other types of knowledge that it kind of overcomes the master's degree.
Yeah, definitely. And well, first off, thanks for sharing that. And second off, like, yeah, like, experience, you get an education out of that experience that you're already having, that sometimes the school, or a lot of times the school education, doesn't account for that, you know. Mm-hmm. Or sometimes it's the same, sometimes it's even better that you actually get the experience that you're getting right now, because you learn so much. You're in let's say the trenches every day, so you either have to learn it or you won't learn it, and then you'll have some problems with it, you know. So you're actually living it every day versus somebody that's just going to school and just, you know, oh, this is what you would do in this scenario and stuff like that. So yeah, I totally agree with that. So you're getting more education right now than you would, but you know, at some point you might just decide, hey, you know what, let me go back and get that master's, and that might come up in the future.
Absolutely. You can always go back. And that's one thing that, you know, I stress is, even if, you know, you're in college and you're trying to get your bachelor's or your associate's degree, yes, it's great to have that piece of paper, but you can also go out into the world and experience things. That's the big thing, is you got to experience what you want to do. I mean, who knows, maybe you go to school for being a nurse and you're out there in the field for 2 months and you're like, you know what, this is not for me. Well, you should have, you know, done the internships and done the on-site activation for yourself. And so that's a big thing, is, you know, I'm all about for change. Don't get me wrong. I've changed my ways a lot, but make sure that your core value is what you want to do.
Yeah, definitely. Couldn't agree with you more. So, Krista, thank you so much for all of that. Your insight is just like, and your perspectives are really great. It definitely resonate a lot with our audience. Now, kind of switching gears a little bit, going into what I like to call our last track questions. I want to ask you three questions that I ask everybody that comes on the interview, because I want to see how you would answer these questions and get a little bit more more in depth on your car ownership experience and what your interests are. Okay. So we know you're into Top Fuel for sure. Mm-hmm. Now, what was that one vehicle that has impacted you the most in your car enthusiasm?
Shoot. Well, there's a lot. But okay, I'll take it down into two different answers.
Okay.
Okay, so for the super high performance, when I'm on the racetrack, you know, going crazy amount of speeds, the one car that, you know, is the pinnacle of the enthusiasm, where I got, you know, comfortable with how fast I was going, was my first A-fuel car. Mm-hmm. I've driven quite a few throughout the years, but this one was my first one. You know, I was so short in the car that they had to make like this boomerang pedal for the clutch because I couldn't reach.
Oh, wow.
And it was like everything was molded to me, and I felt so comfortable in that. And, you know, my fifth run ever in that car, I went 526 at 276 miles an hour, which is a pretty great run in A-fuel dragster.
Yeah. Definitely.
And so, you know, just the A-fuel car is, you know, that enthusiasm for the high performance race cars.
Okay.
Now, for like the street side, because, you know, you got to remember that I do have a lot of knowledge on the street side because of all the drivetrain and all the McLeod and FTI. Mm-hmm. And so I will say right now, the enthusiasm is real, like super real for the mid-engine Corvette.
Ooh, nice. The C8.
I'm down. I'm so down. And, you know, it's like a supercar, but American. That's the dream street car right there for right now.
Well, that's an amazing car right there. Yeah, it definitely, I haven't driven it, obviously, and I haven't seen too many of them, unless, you know, when you go to like the car shows or the car meetups and stuff mm-hmm. like that. But in seeing everything, like, that's an amazing car, and it's definitely worth the hype that it's getting.
Absolutely. And it's American made, which is even like, that's a huge thing. And, yeah. You know, all of us at McLeod and FTI, we are all about the American made thing. And you know, it drives home like what the core values are. And so, and plus, like I said, it looks like a supercar, but it's American.
Yeah, you said it perfectly. It's better. It's like an American supercar.
Yep. Yep. So that's the enthusiasm right now on both sides of the coin.
Awesome. Thanks for sharing that. Well, that kind of gets us into the second question then, because mm-hmm. I kind of have a, let's see, a hint of what might be in one of these spaces. But the next question would be, you have a 3-car garage and unlimited funds. Huh. You can only have 3 cars. What 3 cars would be in these spaces?
Okay, obviously the Corvette.
I knew that was coming. I knew it.
Obviously, that's the first one. Oh, shoot. I currently drive a 2018 Ford Edge EcoBoost Sport Edition. Absolutely love it. I would not change it for the world. So I would put my Ford Edge in there.
Wow. With unlimited funds, one of them would be your Ford Edge. Wow. Okay.
Well, awesome. You know why? Because that's my tow vehicle for the race car.
Ah, okay.
So
Okay.
we
I get it.
tow the race car. You know what I mean? So it goes back and forth there.
Okay, I get it. Okay.
And if the third bay was a super long bay, of course, a state-of-the-art top-field dragster.
Oh, wow. Haven't had anybody say that one before.
Yeah, but
Awesome.
you know, you got to make sure the garage is long enough.
Yeah, definitely.
It doesn't fit in a regular garage.
But you have unlimited funds. You can do whatever you want with your garage space,
Yeah.
right?
Yep. If I had unlimited funds, man, the Top Fuel car would look sick. It would be all blacked out, like murdered out. Everything from the valve covers to anything on the car that was silver is going to be black anodized. Yeah, it would be murdered out. And I have nothing on the car. It'd be sick.
That would be awesome. That would be awesome. I would love to see that
Yes.
garage. So that kind of goes to then the next question and final last track question. Have you ever played Track Daily Crush?
I have not played it, but I know what you're talking about.
Ah, okay, perfect. So you know, basically, I'm gonna give you a list of three cars. One of them is only gonna be your daily, one of them is only gonna be your track car, and then the other one is going to be sent to the junkyard to get crushed.
Okay.
So it's a little hard with you. I will say that because I definitely don't want to use a funny car or a top fuel drag racing car because I definitely know that you're going to pick that as a track car.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
So let's see. So we got to put the C8 in there. We're going to use your Ford Edge because of sentimental values. And you just explained how. You know what? This is the first time I'm gonna do this, but yeah, you know, I am gonna throw into the top fuel, your murdered out top fuel. So basically, your three car dream
All right.
garage track daily crush.
Okay. I guess I will daily the Corvette if I had like twist my arm. You know,
Okay.
if I live somewhere that it did not snow, I would daily the Corvette.
Twist my arm. Oh man, I have to drive a C8.
Yeah, it's gonna be tough. Obviously, track car is gonna be the dragster, and then I guess we will trash my beautiful Ford Edge. But
Oh man. So what are you gonna pull the dragster now with?
I mean, I think it would be sick if we pulled it with the Corvette,
Oh,
but
that would be awesome. The first ever like towing package on a C8 Corvette will be Christmas.
yeah.
There you go.
Hey, Chevy.
They're gonna
Just
call it
saying.
the Krista package on their
Yeah, I mean, I'm down.
website.
Yeah, have like a murdered out C8 and then a murdered out dragster. Be
Oh
sick.
yeah, that would be awesome. Oh man, so we're gonna crush the Edge. Bye bye Edge.
Yep.
And that's that.
Yep.
Well, thank you so much for that, Krista. Thanks for playing. Thanks for answering these questions. We're kind of nearing the end of our interview, although it has been a really good time talking with you. I do have a few more things that I wanted to go over. Two questions and then a final comment. So, last two questions is whether it's Krista Baldwin Racing, whether it's McLeod Racing or FTI Performance, or even on their personal side, or you could tell us about all three or four, what has you excited for 2021?
Let's see. Obviously, on the KBR side, top field dragster,
Yeah.
super sick, super excited. On the McLeod side, gosh, we had such a strong year in 2020. It was quite amazing to see how many people were able to work on their car and have the time and enjoy their car. So it I would say the McLeod side, just to see all those builds that we, you know, we sold clutches for last year, we get to see them come to fruition here this year, this spring. I mean, that's going to be the big thing. And, you know, everyone enjoying the car life, that's going to be super exciting for the aftermarket industry. And not only just for McLeod, but FTI and all of the, you know, aftermarket companies should be enjoying this, because people are finally, you know, you're not able to travel, so why not work on your car in your garage? Yeah, and so that's been a super exciting thing to see and to be a part of for the last about year and a half. And, you know, for 2021, I can only see it continue to grow, especially since, you know, a lot of people want to move into the electric cars. It's quite refreshing to see how many people still have, you know, their combustion cars in their garage, and they're going to bring it out and enjoy it.
Yeah,
like, you got to enjoy life while you have it.
Yeah. That's definitely true.
Yep. So let's see, that was McLeod and FTI. And then for Katie personally, what am I most excited for? I'm excited to see the growth and the continuing this passion that's burning deep inside me to see it come to real life. Because obviously you sit there and daydream of what you want to do. Well, don't give up on the daydream, because I'm living proof that I'm doing it. And I can't wait to see what comes next.
That's awesome. Thanks for that, Krista. You are just dropping some like really great like value bombs for everybody. That's just like, I could literally just make this episode just on quotes that Krista came up with.
Oh gosh.
And then, so thank you for that. Last question. Last main question, I guess, would be, first off, you already gave such great advice, such great insight. What are your last final bits of advice for anybody that wants to follow in your footsteps and kind of take that Krista route, whether it's on the racing side or even becoming a creative director for a racing team?
One of the big things is have thick skin, because there's a lot of people, a lot of situations in this industry, or not even this industry, but in life, that will get you down. I mean, literally this week I had the highest of highs on landing a sponsor, and then the lowest of lows of another sponsor leaving my program.
Oh.
So you have to have thick skin, in the sense of everything happens for a reason. And if it's not happening right now, don't worry. There's going to be, in the future, you're going to be able to be handed the ingredients to make it work. Never give up. And there's been a few times in the last few months that it's gotten really tough, you know, between working and the job and, you know, Paul Lee's race team and all the different things that I juggle. Like, man, what am I doing? I'm ready to give up. But you got to remember why you're here. Remember what, don't get rid of the big picture. To become a creative director, make those connections. I would highly recommend walking the SEMA show. That is where you're going to get, you know, you get to meet people face to face with, in the industry that you want to be in and in the position that you want to be in. And everyone's able to, you know, not everyone's scary. Like, they will talk to you. And what's the worst that they're going to do? Say no. Okay, fine. They say no, you go to the next person.
Yeah.
So just, you know, if you want to do it, you're going to find a way to do it. In any way, in any part of life that happens.
That's awesome advice, Krista. That's that's really good advice for everybody. And it might be something that other people have heard before, but it is great to keep hearing it, and from your perspective, to hear it, because I think we forget about making the connections, about never giving up, finding a way to get things done, and just going up to people and just not being scared to talk to them. So that's definitely great. Thank you for that. Now, lastly, where can people get in contact with you?
You can find me on Facebook and Instagram at Crystal Baldwin Racing. And then on Twitter, I am at Crystal Baldwin. And of course, I'm on LinkedIn as well. And you can reach out to me on the McLeod and FTI sides of things also.
All right. Awesome. And then that's McLeodRacing.com and FTIPerformance.com.
Yep, well. That's it.
All right. Perfect. Well, you guys heard it here. Definitely reach out to Krista if you have any questions, but also check her out. Like, definitely look her up if you don't already know her, because she is doing some amazing things. You guys heard it here. And we look forward to seeing the great job that she's going to do over there in Gainesville. And you said in 2 weeks, right?
Yep, 2 weeks. Get to awesome. Put on the helmet for first time 21.
That's going to be awesome. Definitely can't wait to see that. So check her out, guys. It's been a great time, Krista. Thank you again for talking with us, sitting down and chatting with us for a little bit of time. We really appreciate it. And hopefully we can have you back on the show sometime in the future. And you can let us know about how your career is going then.
Absolutely. And thanks, Carlos, for having me on. It's been a blast. Like you said, if you guys have any questions, anything at all, don't hesitate to reach out. If there's someone I know that I can put in connection with you, I'd be happy to do it. But yeah, thank you. And I'm excited to see what this year is going to bring.
Awesome. Thanks, Krista. You have a great day.
Thank you.